Praise the Lord. It's a good thing to know that the Lord is on our side. Amen. When the battle rages and when the storm is on every hand, the darkness of the night is dark as pitch, as the old saying goes. It's good to know that the Lord is on our side. We just give praise to the Lord, give glory to Him, lift our voices to Him, and give Him the honor and the praise. For He's the great God Jehovah. He's the God that's more than enough. Amen. And He's the God that's going to take care of us. And He's the God that's going to take us over. He's going to bring us through. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to minister today, after we pray, on a subject and a thought. Amen. Of being established. Amen. Established. And simply just ask the question, what does it mean to be established? Amen. Pray with me if you would. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come to you, Lord, and God, we ask you that you would pour out your Spirit upon us here today. You would send that anointing that breaks the yoke and sets the captives free. Lord, come and visit with us with a mighty visitation of your Spirit. And God, we'll give you the praise, for we cannot do it of our own. We cannot do it within ourselves. A fast show in the flesh will not get the job done. Only by your anointing and only by the Spirit can we touch and bless your people. And we'll give you the praise for it. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. In the first chapter of Romans, and there's a lot of preaching in the first chapter of Romans, a lot. But I want to lift a key verse, verse 11. But let's read up through verse 11 just to set the standard here of what God wants us to know. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of wholeness by the resurrection of the dead. Notice there then verse 4. We'll go back to the reading just a minute. But notice in verse 4, Paul uses a word here called the Spirit of holiness. Now, I've always said this and I still say it. It don't matter what denomination you are. It don't matter what kind of church you go to or what kind of church you're a part of. If it's not holy, then you got a problem. You need to be established in holiness, because God's standard is holiness. And without holiness, the Bible says no man is going to see the Lord. No man's going to see God. It's going to take wholeness to get us there, and it's going to take that standard of wholeness. So you can rightly divide the scriptures real quick. If what you believe don't produce wholeness in your life, then there's something wrong with what you believe. Amen. Because the sanctifying power of God will produce and bring about. The Bible says the grace of God which bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. It tells us, teaching us how to live righteously, soberly, holy in this present world. And that's the word of God. Amen. So matter about the denomination, throw denominationalism out the window. Just make sure that you've got the Spirit of wholeness. Amen. Verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom Christ are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, he's talking about those at Rome. He's talking about how their faith was spoken, amen, to all in those in the Romans as he spoke to this epistle to them, them letter to them. And here he goes on to say in verse 9, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer." Paul, they're giving them the understanding that he was praying for them, he was behind them. "Making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." He's saying, I'm praying that God will give me a prosperous journey by his will that I may come unto you. And then verse 11, I want to receive my text from that. "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." Now his whole understanding, and if you understand anything about Paul, you understand that Paul had a great desire for the people to be established in God, to be rooted and grounded. If you go to Galatians in the 4th chapter in verse 19, Paul said to the Galatians, "My little children, of whom I travailed in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." Amen. He said he travailed with them until Christ was formed in them. So it tells me that there's a place wherein that we come into the knowledge of God. We come in as beginners. We come in as babes, not able to take meat, but literally just the milk, as the baby would take milk. You can't get a fork and throw a baby a T-bone and expect him to chew the meat off the bone. He's not going to do it. You got to give him milk. You got to, first of all, give him, meshed up or separated to where it's like applesauce, or where it's something that's been ground up and put in a blender, and to the point that they won't get choked on it. Amen. So Paul was saying that I prevail with you. I travail until Christ was formed in you. Then in 2 Chronicles in the 20th chapter and verse 20 and the last part of that verse, you find these words. You only have 20/20 vision. This is 20/20 vision. Scriptural 20/20 vision. "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper." Notice it took believing in God to be established. We must be founded on the Word of God. I hear the preacher preaching today on one of our broadcasts, and he had a good message. He was preaching about how that, you know, we had to have a basic foundation of the gospel. We couldn't go out here and just establish and believe anything we wanted to, because the nature of the human flesh was we're going to believe what suits us. And you find a lot of people, that's the way they read the scripture. They only read the part that what they're going to get out of it. They don't read the part where they got to suffer for Christ. They don't read the part where they got to go through trials. They don't realize the part and accept the part where they got to go through persecutions. And I'm going to tell you something. This thing is not a Sunday school picnic. This thing is not just a walk of easy, but this thing is a battle. I believe I heard Mike Payne in one of his songs, in between one of his songs, that I heard him say, it's just plain out, it's war. This thing is war. We're in a war with the enemy, and thank God I read the book, and we win. But the only way we win is we become established in God's Word. Know what the Word says. Know what the book says. So that somebody cannot twist you around. There was a guy talking to me the other day, a businessman that was a Muslim. And he was telling me all this stuff. And I said, listen, sir, Listen, you're wasting your breath, because I've read about Ishmael. And I've read about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I know who I have believed in. And I know that Ishmael's crowd is going to the way of the devil. And I know that Jacob, Isaac, and all that has been given. That is the seed of the righteous. And they will. The Bible said in that day all Israel shall be saved. Amen. I'm glad I'm adopted into the family of God. I'm glad I was drafted in contrary to nature. I'm glad my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And my feet's on the rock and my soul is anchored in that haven of rest. I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. Then it don't just stop there. I'm talking about being established. And what it means. In Psalm 40 and verse 2, it says these words. Actually, I just want to read a whole section of that. I want to read about 4 or 5 verses. I wait patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Thank God, I'm glad that he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He has put a new song in my mouth, ever praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wondrous works which thou hast done, and thou thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than I can number. Amen. The blessings, the things which thou have done is more than I can number, more than I can count. But thank God he said that he had brought us out that old miry clay and set our feet upon a rock and established our goings. What brings this about? First of all, waiting patiently upon the Lord. Within your patience possess your soul. Man, I had a hard time with that. Amen. I'm like those people pray, Lord, Lord, give me patience, but please hurry. Amen. Praying, Lord, I got to have it right now. I used to listen to the people pray around Pentecostal altars. The most word they used next to Jesus was right now, Lord. Do it now, right now, Lord, right now. Lord, fill them with the Holy Ghost right now. Heal them now, right now. Give them a new car right now. Give them a miracle. Give it right now. All right now. Well, as I walked with him a little bit, I figured out what he meant. If you just give him time. See, God's timetable is not our timetable. We want it all yesterday, last week, or last month. We want God to send us a portfolio laying it out day and description of the date and when we're going to get what. We're blessed. He brought us up out of the horrible pit, the miry clay, put our feet on the rock. He established our going. His blessings beyond what we can number. We can't even count that far. He gave us life and he sustained us. And I've learned to pair that. And I'm glad I learned this early. Because it took a long time to learn the patience of it. Occupying. Here's what he said. Occupy till I come. So I figured how that in my patience possessed my soul. I found out how to deal with that.
I found out, get busy doing something for the Lord. Occupy. Just occupy. He said, occupy till it comes. Stay busy. Keep telling somebody about Christ. Keep working. Now, we're going to move this, Lord willing, without he changes his mind. He might give us field over here next door and we won't have to move the mountain. But when we go to move that mountain, I tell you how we're going to move it. One dipper full at a time. And I already know there's some rocks in it. And I've dealt with rocks before. I've dealt with rocks so big that you had to go dig holes to put them in because there wasn't no way you could get them up on a truck. You had to drill a hole in them and blow them apart so you could even get them on a truck. So a lot of time, I'd just find a place I could dig a hole, and I'd dig a hole and bury that scandal. But the way you've got to move that mountain out there is a dipper at a time. Whatever, if you use a track hole with a paw dipper on it, or if you use a four-way bucket on a front-end loader, or whatever you use, you're going to have to do it a dip at a time. You cannot get out here on this side and set the bucket down and say, well, I'm going to push this mountain out of the way. It don't happen that way. You got to stay busy at it. And if you stay busy at it, dipper by dipper, bucket by bucket, you'll move it. Life's that way. You can't take the whole thing on at one time. You got to press on. And if you press on day by day and minute by minute, you can live it. Amen. Stop and smell the roses, as old saying goes, a little bit on the way. But I found out if we stay busy for the Lord's work and we occupy until he comes. Amen. But he's put us on that rock, and he's established our goings. Then in Psalms 93, 1 through 5, that's all the verses Psalms 93 has. The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he has girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up thy voice. The floods lifted up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Wholeness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever. There again, he mentioned that word holiness, amen, the psalmist. But notice here that he says, thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. His word, the Bible says, has been evermore settled in heaven. And there's two incommutable things that we can stand on. First of all, he's God. He's established. And secondly, he cannot lie. That's his word. Amen. Then in Proverbs, if we ease that way, we come to Proverbs in the 4th chapter and in verse 20 through verse 27. My son, attend to my words. Incline thou ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. The psalmist also said in another place, he said, I'm going to hide the word of God in my heart, that I will not sin against him. So we have the word in the midst of the heart. Verse 22. For they are life unto those that find them, and to health unto all thy flesh. You know, I'm glad as a saint of God, I know it's said in the word that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Because, buddy, some of the sicknesses, some of the things I went through, if I hadn't known that, man, I'd have been hurting for sure. But I knowed that even though that just all suffering and pain and all these things may endure through the night, I know according to the word of God that God said, joy cometh in the morning. Amen. And when you know his word and you've got it hid in your heart and it's a part of you, you're established in God. It said, keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put it far from thee. Let thy eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the paths of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Simply, we need to give thought before we go a direction. We need to say, if this is the Lord's will, if it's the Lord's will. A lot of things we say about what we're doing here and the things are taking place according to God's will. Now, there's some things, I don't pray healing if it be God's will to heal. I know it's God's will to heal. There's sometimes the Bible says the sickness unto death. I go to the bedsides of many people that God says pray for them, pray for their family, but this is a sickness unto death, and we understand that. My dad reached a point that he had a sickness we prayed for, and we prayed and he rallied again. But I went the next time to his bedside, and the Lord showed me this was a sickness unto death. This was a stroke that was going to take him out of here. He wouldn't be coming back. Amen. And I rejoiced in all of it, because the Lord was there. And when the Lord's in something, it'll work itself out. It'll take care of itself when the Lord's there. But if we find out what God's will is, and we pray according to God's will, and we declare. Now, we're establishing the fact that we're planning on taking that mountain and moving it in that pond over there to make a big, huge parking lot. That's without God shows us a better way. You know, as I said earlier, he made us have his field over here, and we don't have to move the mountain. We don't have to fill the barn. But we're trying the spirits. You ever hear the word trying the spirits? That's seeing what God has and what he wills. We tried the spirit on this worship center. We fought the devil, but at sundown, amen, we won, amen. And I tell you, the sun's coming up in the morning, and when it does, it's going to be victory. But we had to fight every devil you could think of. We're doing the same thing on the purchasing that next 3 acres where we're going to fill that pond and make the parking lot. We're fighting the devil over that. And some people say, well, you ain't got the place full. Well, you need more parking. We've had 3 services out of the 50, we've had 51 services, today's 52 services in this building. We've had 3 services out of those 52. We couldn't get everybody in the parking lot. We had them out in the grass, in the field, and on the bank, and everywhere else. And that's just in the 51 services we've had, coming up 52 today. I'm telling you something. You got to plan ahead. Now, if the rapture takes place in the meantime, so be it. I tell people if they need a car, if they run along behind me and I get raptured out and it don't run over the bank and crash, if it coasts off the side of the road, jump in. It's got a tank of gas. Run it till you run the gas out. You can have it. I don't need it. Amen. Go ahead, and you can have the car. And if I don't owe nothing on it, run it now on. If I owe somebody, somebody will be calling on you, won't know where the car is, where the money. But I'm telling you something. I'm leaving here. We're leaving here. When the trumpet sounds so loud that it wakes the dead, we're leaving here. Why? Because we're established in God, in God's word. Amen. So important. that we become established. Then in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3 and in verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. The Lord is faithful to establish you and keep you from evil. Now I want to get here in just a few minutes. I want to get in Hebrews, and I want to get in Hebrews in the 13th chapter and in verse 9. We all know what 13 and 8 says. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. That's an established fact. That's being absolutely established. Verse 9. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meat, not having profitable, them that have been occupied therein. We need to be established in grace, established in God. Then I want to find in 1 Peter, I want to go there and I want to look at 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'm going to look at verse 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us into and has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settle you. I'm kind of like something's been shucked down in the jar. You ever tried to pour something into a jar and it wouldn't fit? But you kind of bang it up on the counter a little bit and shake it around a little bit, and before long it settles down, and then you can fill it. Well, we was so puffed up with our own self when we come in the door of this thing that God couldn't put the whole thing in us to start with, because we had so much bull in us, we had to get rid of some of the bull.
Amen.
Amen. God had to shake us a little bit. He had to put us through some battles, some trials. He had to put some storms. We had to figure out what we need to get rid of, what we need to keep. We had to become established. And after all this has took place, he settled us, established us. Amen. And now we're settled and established in him. Then in James, if we look in the 5th chapter and we look in verse 8. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So what does it mean to be established? First of all, to know the Lord. To have your feet brought out of the old clay and the pit and the mire, and them established on the rock. To be tried and tested, and to be settled and established. To know his word, that his word will not fail. To know that his word cannot change, it will not change. We cannot change it. We cannot amend it or alter it. What he said is his word. And we establish on that fact that God makes a way where there seemeth none. We're established to know that greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. We establish to know that we're overcomers by grace. And we're established to know that the Lord shall return at the very sound of the trump. The dead in Christ shall be raised first. we which are alive and remain shall be called away to be with the Lord, and so shall we ever dwell with him. These are the promise of the word. This is established. I don't know what the stock market could do. I care less. I don't know what's going to happen to Obamacare. I hope it's like a shot duck. It wobbles off and falls over, because it's no good. It's no good. It's just, you know, it's just a mockery. But 51% of the American people voted for what they got. Majority rules in that case. I'm glad I'm of the minority in that vote, but I'm glad I'm in the majority with God, because I'm established on his word, filled with his spirit, sanctified, washed by his blood, and established in wholeness, and know it to be God's standard. Made up my mind, nothing in this world worth turning around to see. I've come too far to look back now. I see the home's yours, and I hear the rattling of the chains, and I hear the smacking of the lips of Gabriel. And I see the flash of the trumpet. For he said, be established in this fact, to know the Lord is coming. And his coming is nigh at hand. If it was nigh when we first believed, how much closer is it today? So my friend, make sure you're established in God's word, God's holiness, God's righteousness. And make sure you keep it close and nigh to your heart. And God will come quickly and carry you to that mansion on high. The Bible says, you know, that in my Father's house were many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. Amen. He said, I go away to prepare a place that I am, there you may be also. Talking about being established in her mansion. Talking about being established with God. Talking about a God that he's established, that his power is omnipotent. His wonders are more than can be numbered. And we'll soon, even though the Bible says this life, it's so short, then it's cut off and we fly away. I'm telling you, the coming of the Lord is nigh at hand, even at the door. You better make sure you remain established with God, because that's the only real establishment that's going to win. All other ground is sinking sand, but in him we win. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth. We thank you, Lord, that we are established through the word, through your spirit, through your omnipotent power, that God, we are established in you, and that God, you're coming to get your church. And God, we thank you that it has more been settled in heaven, and you cannot lie. And we know this is the day of the Lord, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, for you're soon coming to get your church. In Jesus' name. Lord, bless all that will receive this message. Bless those that need healing, needs miracles. Bless those that need to be saved, redeemed by the blood. And Lord, if there's a man, woman, boy, or girl that ever hears this message, God, I want you to make sure, is Paul, is he prevailed, Lord, and travailed in prayer until Christ was formed in them, that they might be established. God, we ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, they might know you, and the grace of God which appeareth to all men might save them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.